Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give him a shout.
We bless you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Have you loved the day already? Well, it's about to get better. Amen. You're going to hear a message from a man who's been down the hard roads as well, and you've known him for, him and his wife's been here for about 34, 35 years. He's been the chaplain about 20-something years, right? It was taken 24, 25 years, something like that. Is that true? Is that about right? That's about, huh? Eight. Well, that ain't 24, is it? You've been 8 years there, and you've been 18 as an elder here. Ordained as a minister of God, and we want to honor him today. And his chaplaincy was taken away, just stripped from him, because he was telling the truth. And but he didn't respond in a negative way. He kept his heart clean toward God and never spoke bad about the people that mistreated him. That's what Terry was talking about. And then God restored him, restored the ministry, which is actually unheard of. It's actually a miracle of God for anybody in the government to be able to change their mind and restore somebody like that. So get your Bibles out, get ready, and please welcome Reverend William Logan.
I heard you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Terry gave me the rhema word this morning, just now. I don't know if y'all heard it or not, but I plead the fifth. I'm not going to tell him, bro. Well, God is so good to us. You know, I was sitting there. If you see a smile on my face, that's because as of tomorrow, it would be 2 weeks. You prayed. My daughter was going through a tough time with carrying the baby. But as of tomorrow, 2 weeks, a baby boy, 7 pounds and 9 ounces. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So if you see me smiling, that's why. And nowadays, you know, we don't pull out our billfolds and pictures, but now we show them our cell phones, you know. That's where he's at now. But I just thank God for him. God has been good to us. Amen. That's all I can say. Thank God for my wife, Brenda, because as of next, amen, amen. Give her a hand. And now we got two Brenda sitting here. Amen. But Brenda means enthusiastic one, fervent in the spirit and serving the Lord. Amen. Amen. Fiery one. Yeah. Yeah. But I praise God for both Brenda's, but this is my Brenda over here. And for 42 years, as of April, she put up with me. Amen. Yeah. I thank God for her. She loved me, you know. And let me just, I don't know if I even get to the message today or not. But I just thank God for her, because when I first got married, I would do some crazy stuff. After church sometime, I'd invite people to the house and didn't even tell her, you know, that they was coming over, you know, after church to eat, you know. And she always say, Pastor Terry, that man, you know, that man. And even bought me a bottle of cologne called That Man. I'm serious, she did, yeah. But she cared about me, you know, and I was just thinking this morning, and I don't know if she want me to tell all this or not, but I'm out here now, you know. I'm already out here. Yeah, but you know, years ago, I guess I was about 8 years old, and we had a place called the Old Road. You ever heard the Old Road? I think Doug and Vicky probably know about the Old Road. And I was just probably about 8 years old. And the older teenager would have the younger kids sitting down around the Old Road on a cement block. And we would be singing songs, you know. And they would match boy with girl, boy and girl. It's like, you're my boyfriend, you're my girlfriend. So I was matched up with Brenda at 8 years old, you know. And I never forget, you know, we were singing that song, I'm falling in love again. It might break my heart. It might even tear me apart. You know, I didn't know what I was singing, you know. But, you know, our lives took different turns, you know. And she went her way, I went my way, you know. And long story short, joined the military, came home. And she could not believe that I was saved. Yeah, I'm serious. She heard about I got saved, but like, I don't know. It's about like Paul, you know. I don't know if I trust you. But, you know, long story short, you know, I came home and she would pursue me, you know. Yeah, I'm already out here now. You know, and.
That man.
Yeah, that man, yeah. But, you know, we'd ride around, you know, and I told her, I said, you know what? God showed me that you're going to be my wife. And we're going to get married April 3rd. This is about January then. You know, why play around now? You know, if you see, that's the one, you know. But April 3rd, 1977, she became my wife. I thank God for it because, see, when I was going through that rough time, and many rough times, but in that one in particular, you're talking about the prison. I know she seen that glow that had left my face. My countenance was gone. I was on mute. You know, I didn't say much about the prison, about the Lord. And I'll tell you what, a lot of churches, you know, bombarded Raleigh. You know, it's like letter was sent to Raleigh, this church, and many others. There's some here this morning. I even seen letter that you had written to Raleigh, you know. And but it was like the prison and the old 96 board was desiring to put me back, but Raleigh was saying not so, you know. Because let me tell you what happened. On Thursday night, I went to the prison as normal, regular chapel service. New Vernon Baptist Church was there. And these two guys in the back of the service, and I probably would never cover this again because it's over now, okay? But I went to the service that night as normal. And before New Vernon got there, there was two guys sitting in the back, you know. And I knew they was gays. And I started out talking. I said, God, and I've said this for years. I said, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I said, male and female created he them, not shims, you know. And they raised their hand, we gays. I said, well, tonight may be your night of deliverance, you know. And I said, you know, God hates sin, but he loves sinners. I said, he hates some homosexuality, but he loved the homosexuals, you know. And, you know, it's like, the next day, they sound like I was a bad man. Some of you, Charlie and many others, been around here, Bobby and all them, you know me. I've never been a mean person, but it may sound like William came in there and just, I mean, got down on those guys. But that was not my intention. I said those same words for years. The next day, they called me at home and said, turn your keys in. Went to the prison, turned my keys in, and they said, well, you would not be able to come back to any prison in the state of North Carolina. They didn't say for how long. They said, you would not be able to come back. But because of people like you, you began to pray. And I could just see it on your face a lot of time. You know, you was praying for me. You know, God, restore him back. But you know, there is no power but of God. And all the powers that be ordained of God. So Satan can do nothing to our life unless God allowed it to happen, you know. Now, it's easy to get up and quote stuff, you know, but when you're going through some things, you know, and when you guys sit in meetings and when you know people have been, you know, but I had to sit there anyway. The songwriter says, if I hold my peace and let who? Let who? Let the Lord fight my battle. Victory shall be mine, you know. And see, sometimes I want to step in, you know, tell them what I thought. And I had this guy tell me, he said, you need to call Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, you know. I'm not calling on Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. I call on Jesus, you know. Hey, man, that's the one I call on. You know, and you know what? God gave me a peace that would surpass all understanding, that was keeping my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. God gave me that. Green River Association, they was desiring to cancel all funds to the prison. Sandy Run, they said, we're going to cancel all the funds to the prison. But I said, no, don't do that. The man is the only one that's going to suffer. So I tell you what, God moved. Could I give you a praise report? Hadn't signed the official paper yet. but I believed them. They gave my office back. They gave me the keys back to the prison. Go and come when I get ready, you know. Gave my hours back, 20 hours a week working there now, you know. Hadn't received no money, you know, but that was not my desire, just to be there for the income. I'm primarily there for ministry. Yeah. But I praise God. This is only God. Because they could have received a lawsuit, you know, because allowing me to come back. That's why Raleigh was holding it up for the last 3 years. You know, I've been held up. But you know what? God heard it from day one. God heard it from day one. I'll tell you, well, let's just read a few verses. Would that be okay? It's time to get out of here. It's going to be lunchtime. Yeah. But I don't know, Pastor Terry, who put that word on this thing outside the other day? Restore. Who put that out there? Yeah. You did? Randy did. But you told him what to put. Okay. You see, that was a rhema word. I don't know about for anybody else, but for me. Restore. Let me read the definition of restore. To bring back a previous right, practice, custom, or situation. Reinstated. Reinstated. You see, that was the only way they could get me back. Was to be reinstated. Because you see, they changed that position to you got to have a doctorate degree now. Wow. You just can't come back any, you know, but you got to have a doctorate degree to get back in there. But reinstated. I was fathered in. I was grandfathered in. Okay? It said, mean to return someone or something to a former condition or position. Is that not God? Repair or renovate a building or work or art, a vehicle, etc., so as to return to its original state. Give something previous, stolen, taken away, or lost, back to the original owner or recipient. Is that not a rhema word? I don't know about for anybody else, but that was for me. That was for me to restore back. And I tell you what, God is good. I'm going to read a verse or two before we get out of here today, but if I can. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. I'll tell you the 5th chapter, and let's read a few verses there. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. And if you're not there yet, say hold up. Everybody there? That's 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. I'll tell you, when I was at the prison this morning, Pat came over and shared about the ministry. And after you left, well, before you left, the guys had me singing. They know I can't, you know, really carry a tune, but it's a sing, you know. I broke out. God is good. But God is good all the time, you know. And I'm not just saying that, but he is good all the time. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 6. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, who is this steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions that are compassed in your brothers that are in the world. Verse 10, conclusion here. But the God of all grace, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. 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 Now let us read this together up on the screen there. Same verses. Can you see them? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Back up to verse 6, Russell. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. Casting. season. Amen. So be it. Amen. God is good. I'm going to give you part one. Maybe I'll come back next year and give you part two. Is it all right? Well, I'll tell you what. After this happened, I'm not going to call no name, but I came to church shortly after that, and there was a young man here. He's here this morning. He said, because my business had been blessed, my wife and I talked about it, and we want to give you a donation. And I praise God for that. Gave me a donation. A few weeks later, he said, do you think you've done the right thing at the prison, what you said? I said, I sure do. And he gave me another donation. It was like a confirmation, you know, you on the right track, you know, you was on the right track. And I didn't understand it, you know, what was going on, but I realize now that God was making a difference. We got a saying on the wall there. Is Pat, what did he say now? Love God, love people, making a difference. And I'll tell you what, that's what God put on my heart. I want you to just love me. Love me. Love people. You see, vertical, you love me. I was at the car wash across the street yesterday, and I was singing, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice just to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. And let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. See, vertical, I had to love God. And horizontal, I had to love people. You see, as a byproduct, loving people, we're going to make a difference. We're not trying to make a difference. It's just a byproduct. It just started happening. You see, let me just... I don't know. I'm already out here. You see, I feel like that Satan is trying to get us sidetracked. Yeah, seriously. He's trying to get us side through politics and things, get us off track. We go on our own soapbox pushing our agenda, you know. We're pushing strong, but we're forgetting all about him, you know. Families have been torn apart just because of politics, you know. But let me tell you, Dr. King said it like this, don't let no man pull you so low that it makes you to hate. You know, people have began to hate one another right now. You'd be surprised. I'm not talking about angry, but... And we hide behind it called righteous indignation, you know. We hide behind it. But let me tell you, it's time now to get off our soapboxes and get back to loving people, loving God and making a difference, you know. You see, A.W. Tozer said like this. He said, listen, if somebody began to argue about what is straight and what is crooked, he said, don't argue with them. Just lay your stick down beside them, and they will know whether their stick is crooked or straight. You know, don't argue with them. Yeah. Yeah, don't argue with them. And see, that's why I say your adversary, Lucifer, Satan, the old devil, he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But the word of God said, we're not ignorant of Satan's device unless he get advantage of us. You know? See, that's his job. He's going about in the body of Christ trying to cause schism, divide people, races, and all kinds of things. That's his job. He'd been at this a long time ago, for a long time. But let me tell you, it's time now to be alert. Be aware, because Satan is going about. And, you know, and I tell you what, if we recognize his devices, we can bring a halt to this right here. You know, Jeff said something a few weeks ago. He said, listen, he said, we should go out and witness. Yes. Go out and witness. Amen. And it came to me yesterday. I was at Smith Drugstore, and there was a guy behind me in line. You know, I said, you know, while I'm standing here, find out where he's from. Find out his name and what church he go to, you know. Not trying to push nobody or bring nobody to a Father Vineyard, but just find out where he's at. And you know what? I found out a whole lot in just that 5 minutes while I was waiting. Right. Just 5 minutes at the car wash yesterday, I found out a whole lot about the guy that was standing there, you know. And say, so, you know, used to be, I'd tell people about Jesus, but I have been on mute, you know. I've not been witnessing like I should have been. Telling folks about Jesus. When I first got saved, boy, I didn't have no car. I get up in the morning, I catch me a ride, and all I could say, you know what? God saved me. You know, I used to be this and that, but God changed me, you know. But you know, church, that used to be evangelistic night. People used to go out knocking on doors. They don't do it anymore. They don't go out and evangelize anymore. And I tell you what, it's not so much in going out and evangelizing, it's wherever you are at. If you're at Walmart or wherever, there's somebody maybe standing that needs to hear a word from the Lord. Let me just share a few more verses here. Bob Gass said it like this. He said, before I read that verse, he said, there was two Christians got into a fist fight on how to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm serious. They got into a literal fist fight on how to receive the Holy Ghost. You know Bob Gass, don't you? Many of you know Bob Gass. Bob Gass, he's probably part of the Word for the Day book, too, you know. But let me tell you, that's the way the enemy works. We don't realize who the enemy really is, you know. And Satan can have us thinking we're doing what's right, and a bitter spirit comes in us. You know, the Word of God said, guard your heart, for out of it come the what? Talk to me. Come the issue of life, you know. So don't let the enemy sidetrack you, get you off course with all this mess that's going on in the world today. And people get mad because you won't voice out one side or another. They get mad at you, you know. How do you believe like this? Well, what do you think about this right here? They don't really want to know. They just want to start. That's his job, though. But look out, I look at him and smile, you know. I know what I believe. Paul said, listen, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto his hands against that day. You know, I'm not worried about Raleigh. You know, I'm trusting Jesus, you know. Yeah, and they told me last Thursday night, say, you can go ahead and sign the papers tomorrow. You can come in Tuesday time. I just wait till Tuesday. That's fine. You know, see, they told me a while back that I was there, and I went for sure. They was playing with me or what, you know. And they didn't sign off in Raleigh, you know. But they said, no, you can come on, get, you know, officially, you're back, you know. And they gave me the keys, and Miss Brewer said, well, if you got the keys, you're back. I want to see it, you know, in writing, you know. But I tell you what, it's been a journey. This has been a journey. It's easy to get them quote verse, you know, I love you, Lord, and, you know, and God is good, and all things do work together for the good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. It's easy to quote that. But when you're going through some things, you want the Lord to, is all this working together for my good? But he had begun the good work in us, and he's able to do what? He's able to bring it to completion. Oh, he's growing me up. You see, some of us got a lot of knowledge, information, you know. But wisdom is the application of knowledge, knowing how to apply what you hear, you know. Some of us are grown, but we're acting like kids, you know. Throwing temper tantrum, we're supposed to be grown now, but we still acting like a child, you know. I'm complaining about this and this. Sometimes we need to just say, I need to grow up. I need to grow up, you know. I need to grow up. Yeah. Someone's going to hit you next week while you're at work. You're going to start. I need to grow up. I've been complaining. Brother John preached a message about complaining. I need to grow up, you know. His songwriter said, I'm learning. I don't know about you, but when you go through something, you learn. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding what? More power than I ever dreamed. Yeah. You know, I didn't get this peace. When they told me to come back, God gave me the peace before I came back. It's like he was telling me, it's over now. Yeah. It's over, you know. It didn't look like it was over. Nothing had changed, but in my spirit, I felt it's over. Everything I read, it was telling me, it's over now, you know. And I want you to say this morning in your life, it's over now. Say that. It's over now. No matter what you're going through this morning, say it's over now. It's over now. You've been through a bad marriage, a divorce, separation. It's over now. Yeah. It's over now. God's going to bring the healing balm of Gilead there. It's over. It's over. If you're here this morning going through a tough time, the pastor's here, Pastor John, and many other elders here this morning. You know, we've lost a lot of people along the way. I looked around this morning at people that used to be here. I mean, a lot of people have passed away, but we're still here. But God is saying, you know, you don't have to carry that anymore. What you're going through, it's over now. You worried long enough. You carry it long enough. The word said, cast all of your upon who? For he careth for you. So don't carry it anymore. Lay it down at Mount Moriah. It's over now. It's over. If you're here this morning, let's all stand if you will. If you're here this morning and you've been carrying some things for a long time and you want to lay it down this morning, this could be a brand new day. I picture Daddy Courier, China 13, 3 coming by here saying, what's going on at Father Vineyard down there? What in the world is going on? But the presence of God is there. God's kabod presence is there because people are calling on God. They're not arguing amongst themselves. They're not fighting. And not all this strife and bitterness. They're just loving God and loving people and making a difference. So if you're here this morning and you have been carrying it, I want you to come on down this morning. Come on down. Just lay it down. You get a chance to eat in a few minutes, but come on down this morning. Come on down this morning. Come on down. God, I want to lay it down. Somebody has wounded me. Somebody has hurt me. And I want to give it over to you this morning. I want to resign. Let me tell you about Paul Martin. He had a nervous breakdown, had a mega ministry, you know, but all of a sudden he had a nervous breakdown. His son didn't know what to do or say, but he began to write. And he wrote a song that said, I resign, God. It's in your hands now. It's out of mine. I resign. Is there some situation in your life that you need to resign from worrying about? Come on down this morning. They're here this morning to pray with you. And if you're here this morning and don't know Jesus, come on down today. Amen. Today is what? The day of salvation. And now is the? Yeah, now is the second time. Not tomorrow, but now is the second time. So come on down. I'm not talking about crying, you know, feeling bad, but repentance means to change directions. God is sorrow. So if you're here this morning, you just want to come on down and praise team, not the praise team, the minister team, come on down and pray with this one that's stepping out. Come on down this morning. Pray. You've carried it long enough. The songwriter says, oh, what peace we often, and oh, what needless pains we care. All because we do not what? Praise God. Is there something this morning that you've been carrying for a long time and you want to give it over to God this morning? Come on down this morning. We've got people here this morning that would be glad to pray with you. Pray. Praise God. Praise God. God is here this morning. He's here this morning. Yes, he's here this morning. Yes. It's over now. God is drawing the line and saying, it's enough is enough. Reclaim that surrender ground. It's over now. Praise God. Maybe you've gotten sidetracked somewhere along this political realm and you don't know where you're getting off track at. I want you to come on down this morning. It's time to get back to the heart of worship. This is going to be a new day for many people this morning. Not because of what I shared this morning, but because God is speaking this morning. Not just here, but many other places. God is speaking. Praise God. Praise God. done. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Brenda, thank God for me this morning. Thank God for you. Praise God.
Amen. I want you to be seated just for a moment. Just bear with us just for a few more minutes. As he was speaking, it was one of the things that I heard. wasn't in a natural, but it sort of sounded like in a natural. But I heard dogs barking. In one section of his message, I heard dogs barking. And I said, "Why, God, why am I hearing dogs barking?" And he reminded me of the time that I had a funeral to do right down here, down the road a bit. And we had a graveside service, and across the little valley, there was a dog lot. And those dogs, about five or six dogs, and they were just carrying on awful. And you couldn't hardly hear. And I said, "God, you're going to have to do something about them dogs." And they kept barking. We hadn't started yet. And I said, "God, I'm asking you, please do something about them dogs. Get them dogs to be quiet." And he said, "You tell them to be quiet." And I got it. And I didn't do it quietly. I said, "Dogs, be quiet." And instantly, those dogs were silent. Everybody with the family and everything just looked at me and wanted to know. One guy asked me, he said, "Are those your dogs?" I said, "Nope. But right now, I'm carrying some authority over the dogs because of him." But anyway, I think God's reminding us that sometimes we just have to say, "Just shut up, Satan. I ain't listening no more." Anyway, you know, there are a lot of racism. I don't believe in racism, to be honest with you. There's not but one race, and it's called human. But anyway, society has made it where it's in black and white and all that kind of stuff. But this is Black History Month, and I just want to say thank you to all the African-American black people that are here. And I want you to stand up because I want to give you honor. I really do. Kingdom people here. Amen. Amen. Anybody got any Irish blood? Go ahead and stand up. I've got some Irish, some English, and some German. So I'm really messed up here. Irish blood. Thank you for being here. Did y'all eat potatoes? All right. We're going to end, but as we go, I got one last thing to do. Really, it's kingdom, people. It's not black, white, pink, yellow. It's about kingdom. And if you love people, you're not going to notice the outside. The enemy wants to draw attention, but the Lord wants you to go deeper than the skin. I'm telling you. And if you don't love people past the skin, you don't love people. I want to introduce to you, you already know him. Where is he? Darren Joyner. He's right outside. Go get him. Run, get him. Somebody, go get him. This man of God is a member of this family, church family. He loves God. I really want him to hear it, but anyway. He loves God, he loves his family, and he loves kids, and he loves his country. And this man of God has made a decision to not just love God and love people, but he's made a decision to make a difference. And by that, he loves his country so much that he has taken the first steps of becoming. He's already done some preliminary work, but he's taken the first steps of becoming a write-in candidate for 2020 election. He's running to represent District 112 in the North Carolina House of Representatives. But in order for him to do that, in order for him to have this opportunity, he must acquire, he must acquire 250 signatures, 250 or more signatures of registered voters in Rutherford County. So if you're a registered voter in Polk County, no need to sign up, yours won't count. So we don't want you to sign and him think he's getting closer and closer. So if you're not registered in Rutherford County to vote, then don't sign. Now, I know some people are maybe squirming about what we're doing, but what we're doing is legal. These signatures are required for the State Board of Elections to be able to place him on the ballot as a write-in. So you as an individual, registered voter in Rutherford County, if you believe that this man should have the opportunity to be on the ballot, then he needs your signature. It doesn't mean an endorsement. It doesn't mean a vote. You get to do that in 2020. All this is saying, I believe this man deserves the right to be on the ballot. And that's what these signatures are for. It's nothing political as far as a party. It's not anything to do with that. What your signature is you're saying, I express my opinion with my signature that he should be on the ballot in 2020. That's what your signature means. It doesn't mean you're going to vote for him. Doesn't mean you're going to endorse him. Do you hear me? But you are saying, I believe this man of God deserves and has the right to be on with an opportunity to be on it as a write-in. Write-ins are hard to win. You know, but when God's at work, anything can happen. Amen. All right, so we have tables and the signature, the clipboards and pens. We have some on this side. We have some on this side. We may put one outside to sort of speed everything up. And what I want you to do is stand to your feet. And all I'm asking you to do is give him an opportunity. Doesn't mean you're going to vote for him. It means you're going to say my signature. Everybody hear what I'm saying? My signature is an expression of my agreement that he has the right. He deserves to be on the ballot in 2020. That's what your signature means. Amen? Is everybody clear with that? I don't want nobody going out here saying, oh, he's trying to be political. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm trying to give a man the opportunity just to be on the ballot. The vote comes 2020. Then that's whatever everybody decides to do. Amen. Darren, we're proud of you. We really are. Yeah, we really are. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to give him the grace, the strength, and the wisdom to take this course of whatever it is that you want him to do. We ask you to protect him, watch over him, and, Lord, let him express who you are in all that he says and all that he does. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have tables on that side and that side. Please sign up. You need to be registered in Rutherford County. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.